Good morning, PML. It is your boy Is Nefarious here, and I am here with my weekend crew for the breakfast show, and we're here to bring you some content. We're here to bring you some fight back. I got my boy Mally Rojo finally here so we could talk about our game. Then I also got my boy Ant Dog. Mally, go ahead and say what's up to the people.
Your ex-boy. And good morning to everybody. Good morning to everybody except Neff.
good morning guys.
Good morning everybody except me. I'm obviously the villain in this. We'll talk about it later on. We'll dive into it more. That will probably be our main course. First we're going to talk about some stuff that happened around PML yesterday. Well, one thing that happened is we had two games that were played yesterday. We had the Vikings in the Bears play. I think the Vikings blew out the Bears. And the Bears are in a pretty rough spot right now. They're not really playing well. I think they got a lot of injuries that are going on. And I think they're having some connection issues. So it's definitely a throwaway season for the Bears, I think, in his mind. I don't know if you guys watched that game or got anything to say about that game. But I know the Bears, for a fact, have been having a tough season recently.
Yeah, the Bears have been struggling a little bit this year, man. I didn't really watch the game, but from looking at the box score, man, 8 turnovers. Mm-hmm. When you get 8 turnovers against a user like a superstar, you're probably going to be on the losing end of a game like that. Also, time of possession, he had a ball for 14 minutes, and superstar had it for 25. So he definitely was controlling the clock and playing better football that game.
That's one I'll definitely have to go back and watch. I didn't get to catch it, but me and Z are playing this week, so definitely going to go back and watch it. One positive I guess I could take from it is I think Z was saying in chat that Eric Kendricks got hurt for 4 weeks, so at least I won't have to see him because he's got that killer linebacker core. So that helped me a little bit. I'll take what I can get because that's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah, he's gone for 3 weeks, it says here. Broken thumb, so he's out for a little bit. So that's a positive. Hope it doesn't swing too much in your favor since I'm still trying to chase the division a little bit. I know it's pretty much out of reach, but if you and Goose don't win, you would have to win 2. Goose would have to win 1 more to put me out of it. So, and I would, if I lose 1 more, then I'm out of it. So let's, actually, there was 1 more game we wanted to talk about before we segue into that. We'll talk about the divisions and the races coming up. But let's talk about the Packers and the Eagles that happened yesterday. And the Eagles actually came up with a really solid win.
Yeah, that was a tough game. I think Green Bay actually won that one.
Green Bay that actually won.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. It was a crazy catch I saw posted in the chat. That was pretty pretty funny. I probably would have thrown my controller across the room, but yeah, it seemed like it was a pretty solid game all around.
Yeah, I only caught a little bit of it. I did see like the end. I was out last night, so I didn't get to watch too much PML football, but what I did see, I saw that catch that they posted in the chat where it like hit the defender's hand and bounced about 10 yards back right into a wide open wide receiver for the Packers for a touchdown. So yeah, that was kind of a crazy one, but Packers pulled off a nice win. Byrne had a chance there at the end, but he was able to stop him and get the W for the Packers.
Yeah, when you see something like that, that's kind of game-breaking, but, you know, something stupid that's in the game. Like, that's all kinds of stupid. If that happens to you, I mean, when you're on the other side and you're just watching the game, you're laughing your ass off. But if that happens to you, a remote's getting chucked out the window. I'd probably stop playing. I'd probably break every ball I have. Like
I've actually almost had that same exact play go good for me, except for it wasn't as unrealistic because the wide receiver that it bounced to was just like a couple yards ahead of the other wide receiver, so it didn't bounce like 15 yards. But yeah, I had a tight end give an assist to the Tyler Lockett, and he just took it to the house last season against Goose, and I know Goose was heated over that
one. Oh, that's the worst when you're playing a division rival trying to chase the division. Oh, did he end up? Well, he ended up going 5-1. Was that the game he lost in the division,
or did he lose to the Rams in some way? Did he lose against you last season?
We did split last season. So okay, so his was one, me, but I don't know if it was that game or not. I can't remember.
Yeah, that would have sucked if it ended up being a reason that Goose lost that game. And I know he was probably raging on his stream.
If it happens for you, it's hype. But if it happens against you, you're like,
oh yeah. If it happens for you, you're like, yeah, I enjoy that. Like I played Goose last week. And Brian Thompson was draped in coverage, and he went up and grabbed a high-pointed ball and for a touchdown. And I was like, you know, that's right, Madden. Thank you, Madden. And then next play, I had a cover three or something, and I had a guy near Andy Isabella. And you know how it looks like he's covered, but somehow the ball just drops right over the shoulder into the bread basket, and he just took off for a touchdown. I was like, come on, Madden. So I got a taste of both. I was, you know, mine was a little more egregious than Goose's, but it was, you know, Madden has those things where it just makes you want to lose your mind. And it's happened to me on multiple occasions. And sometimes it just takes you out of the game completely, mentally. I don't know if that's ever happened to you where something like that might have happened. And then you're kind of like, well, Madden's just giving them the game, and I really don't want to, you know. I'm really pissed off and not focused at this point.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ant.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, that happens every once in a while. Sometimes you just got to check yourself back in, like, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, yeah, sometimes it just goes out, like, it just goes the other team's way, like, the whole game, and it's just frustrating.
I was going to say, I'm really bad about that. I'm really bad about, like, if some weird shit happens, like, taking myself out of the game, because I just get, like, once something terrible happens that's like in the game, then I just go completely out of my game plan and get really stupid and just like, well, fuck Madden, and then I'm just gonna fucking chuck this bitch up.
Yeah, and I guess that you know that coexists with the fact that we're not the best users in the league. I don't think any of us, you know, are considered one of the better users in the league. We're all kind of near the bottom of the tier because this league is just so competitive. I mean, any of us go into a different league, we're usually competing for the championship game or even making it to the Super Bowl. But when you're in this league, it's just like you don't compete. You're not able to compete just because of how good the competition is when it comes to KMFO and Natural and Hype Mike and stuff like that. Not saying you can't win, but it's just when something goes wrong in Madden, At that point, you kind of get down on yourself. You're like, I'm already fighting against Madden as it is, trying to make sure I get a win. When you start throwing shit, you know, the other opponent's way where I can't even control that, that's making shit worse for me because I know it's going to be a lot harder for me to come back because I'm not that high level skilled. I don't know if that's something you guys, that's kind of how I work. Like when I did it against one, something went wrong in Madden against the Vikings, I was like, yeah, I can't beat the Vikings V-Star if you're working with him and he's already tough to beat for me. So I don't know how I'm supposed to do this.
Oh, that's exactly how I feel. I had the exact feeling the last time I played him. I think I like fumbled it like right off the bat, and I was like, "Fuck, man, dude! Like Z Star is already hard to beat, just period." And now this shit, god damn it!
Yeah, exactly. I'm already on an uphill battle from the start, and you're already giving him 7 to make it even worse. That steep grade just increased, and it's like Jesus. I don't know if I can do this. But onto the divisions. I mean, there's a lot of division races that are happening. I know there's one definitely happening in the NFC West between you and Goose. I'm just lurking in the background, hoping that, you know, somehow you guys lose out and I win out and then I end up, you know, in contention for that division. But looking around, besides the NFC West, we got the NFC East, which is a tight division once again in a good race. We get the Giants at 8-4 and the Eagles at 9-4. I know the Eagles already played their game this week, so the Giants have yet to play. Then we got the football team who went to the Super Bowl last season. They're lurking in third place, so it's a tight division there. Any thoughts on that division that you wanted to mention? And CEO of the Cowboys are 5-7, and he could actually turn it around and end up 9-7.
Yeah, it's crazy because that's actually a division that if CEO did turn it around, like they could actually send four teams to the playoffs possibly, potentially. If he did end 9-7, I mean, 9-7 is a chance to make the playoffs. So, yeah, that's a crazy division.
Yeah, that's gonna be it's gonna come down to the wire for especially for those top three teams. I know, I know the football team isn't looking to not make the playoffs. Q's playing some pretty good football, and then a loss to the Eagles this week could potentially tie if Q wins this game this week. They could be both sitting at 9-4 and looking to battle it out.
Yeah, he's got the football team this week, and I know he's got the Cowboys a couple more times. I know he doesn't play the Eagles. I think he went 0-2 against the Eagles, so that's tough for him. The Eagles themselves have the football team after this week, and I think that's it for the division, and then they move on to the AFC South, where they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then they got the Vikings at the end. So it looks like he's got, I don't know, I don't want to say a favorable schedule, but he's probably got the easier game out of the schedules that I've just looked at.
I'd say he took care of business early, and he's sitting pretty now. It's just up to him to take care of the rest of the season to put him in the playoffs. Based off of what you just said, I think Q's going to have to definitely win this week and possibly look to win out the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely going to make sure he's on his A game for the rest of the season. And he had a good lead on that division for a while. He's got the Cowboys probably have a decent schedule. He's got the Lions, then he's got the Giants twice, but he's got the Lions and the Cardinals are the two other teams that he has to play. So he still has a chance, but he's definitely, you know, on that uphill battle. He's trying to chase, you know, Byrne, and he's trying to chase, you know, the Giants and stuff. And speaking of, you know, Byrne, so that loss against the Packers really, really
That's gonna be a tough one if either the Giants or the football team could pull out a win.
Yeah, exactly. That's one game where I know it's a new user, you don't really know, but given his record and stuff like that, I know he's a lot better than his record because he just inherited that. And you still have to, you know, win that game. And he just fell short, if I'm not mistaken, too. So that's a tough pill to swallow. Moving on, the NFC South is a foregone conclusion. The Buccaneers are, you know, 100% going to win that. They clinched the division. They're 12-0. Don't know who they have at the end of their schedule right now. I think they have the Chargers 1 week.
Yeah, they're going Falcons. I think they have one game against the Saints left.
Yeah, and then I think he has the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he has the Ravens.
Might possibly be the Ravens.
So yeah. he has three division games. He has you, he has the Panthers, and he has the Saints, and then he has the Ravens on week 16. So we'll see that game. You know, in PML it's a little different than, you know, the NFL. People sometimes sit, you know, stars a little earlier than usual because of, you know, the injuries or usage or stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens that week. But he's got the, you know, the Ravens, who I think will probably be the strongest test out of, you know, his remaining three games. No disrespect to you, Ant, but I think that might be the strongest test that he has.
No, definitely the Ravens. Ravens is probably going to be a better challenge. But good thing for him. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, good thing for him is if he loses, he's still in the playoffs no matter what. So
yeah, exactly. He has no pressure on making the playoffs, and I know division games could be tough. So it's playing within a division is tough. I know I got three division games remaining on my schedule, and then I got the Bears. So division games are a whole different animal. So he could drop one to you. He could drop one to Panthers. He could drop one to the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you're in the division, you know your opponent a little better. So that's all that happens.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, though.
Yeah. So moving on, we got the NFC North. We got the Vikings who clinched. They're 9-3. Nobody's going to catch them. The next closest is the 4-8 Lions. They would have to win out, and they would end up 8-8 and maybe make the playoffs, depending on what it looks like for a wild card spot. But he's definitely in no way, shape, or form going to win the division. That's clinched to the Vikings, so congrats to him. The NFC North, I don't know who they had on schedule this season, but they had a tough go of it.
Yeah, looks rough for him. But I think next year is going to be really interesting to see that division. I know Bears is traveling, having tough internet. Cookie's just having a rough season overall. Him being as low as he is, he's always a good drafter, so I think he'll bounce back. And then now we have a new Packers user that was kind of just dealt like a pretty bad hand as far as record and team already, but he's going to have a season to build.
He's, so I think he's 2-1, right? Really,
yeah, I think it's going to be a really competitive division and fun to watch next season. But this season, Z-Star stepped up, and I think you could just probably put in all backups, dude, and especially this week. Put in all backups and just ride it out. Don't get any injuries.
Yeah, he's not up against it at all. He, you know, just like the Bucs situation, you don't have to win for the remainder of the season. Of course, you want to win as a competitor, but you don't have to. So, and it's interesting to see, you know, there's not much of a race in the South or the North. But it's going to be interesting to see because none of the teams in the South are out of the playoffs yet, and I think just the Lions are the only team that isn't out of the playoffs in the North, based on, you know, what the wild card looks like. I mean, it could look like a 10-6 teams go into the wild card, but I doubt that. It looks like it's going to be a somewhere close to 500 team that's going to take that second wild card spot from a team. Moving on, let's go to the AFC. We got the AFC West. The Chargers, of course, clinched that. They're 12-0. But the Broncos are in the hunt for a wild card spot, which is nice to see. I know FK is usually somebody, when you look around the league, you don't really – he doesn't get as much respect as, you know, most users. But he's putting it together a good season, 6-6. He's at 500. I don't know who he has on the remainder of the schedule, but those wild card spots, just like the NFC, are up for grabs.
Yeah, yes. They have two wild cards are 6-6, and then you have the Colts leading his division at 6-6. So they got three 6-6 teams. So he's set to make playoffs.
He's got his own, you know, he's got his own path in his hands. He's got the Bengals, he's got the Raiders, he's got the Chiefs, and then he's got the Dolphins to round it out. And I could see him going 9-7. At the end of the season, making that wild card spot. He's you know, he's got a decent matchup against the Bengals. That could go either way. The Raiders, I think he could definitely win that. And then he's got the Chiefs, which seems like he could definitely win that as well with how well he's playing.
The
one team is the Dolphins at the end of the season. That'll be interesting to see where the Dolphins are at and who they're playing, you know, if they're playing their starters and stuff like that. But that's a favorable schedule for him.
Yeah, I could see him going 3-1 to end out the season. Definitely nice to see him up there competing for a playoff spot, especially with all the slack he was kind of getting for trading away a running back season one, and then he trades away Von Miller and Chubb, and everybody was giving him, you know what I mean, giving him shit, but he's up there competing, so he had a plan in his mind, and he's executing it, and he's right there in the race.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely got a shot. So congrats to him, you know, putting together a good season. But now moving on, we got the AFC East. The Patriots are leading that division at 10-2, but it's going to be a tight race between the Patriots and the Bills coming down the stretch. Bills are at 9-3, Patriots 10-2, and then the Dolphins are in the playoff hunt at 6-6, and
that Week 17 could be a huge game. We gotta take a look at the rest of the AFC, but that could end up being a huge game if they're fighting for just one, you know, playoff spot during Week 17 for that last wild card spot or something like that. That could be a huge game.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at Dolphins' schedule, it is kind of a tough one. He's got Noble, he's got Nat, and he's got Master of None, and then he's got FK. So yeah, the Noble, the way he's been playing, you would think that's a W, but you never know, because Elku Noble's shown that he's like he could be a top user. The Nat game, that's a rough one. Master of None, we know he's definitely better than his record shows, so that could be a tough game as well. So he doesn't have an easy path, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah. Week 16 is going to definitely be the division for the division between the Pats and the Bills. So that's going to be a big game. I look forward to tuning into that.
I got to look at their division records to see, but the Patriots seem to have the tougher schedule down the stretch compared to the Bills. He's got the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills, and then he's got the Packers. So if he slips up in one of those games and loses to the Bills as well, he could end up, you know, taking a wild card spot at, you know, 10 and not 10. So right now he's 10-2?
10-2,
so,
yeah.
So if he splits 2-2, he could take a a spot at 12-4. And then that last Week 17 game, it's definitely going to be huge between the Dolphins and the Broncos. If the Dolphins, you know, do their thing and end up, you know, winning.
Yeah, because
towards the end of the season.
Yeah, because Bills has Browns, Bengals, then Pats Week 16, and then Chiefs. So I don't see him losing to any of those guys except for maybe the Pats.
That's crazy. And I had no idea that King Mike beat Nat 55-3 in Week
16. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
I missed that. Wow.
Yeah, I must have missed that game. It went under the radar.
That's why when they're talking about coaching tiers and he adds them in S, he's like, oh, it's season-based. Well,
if it's season-based, what are you doing S tier with Hype Mike? What is KMFO doing S tier with Hype Mike? Hype Mike is the only S tier coach if we're going season-based. Based on who they've played and, you know, the amount they've won by against good competition.
Yeah, I don't
know. Hype Mike is the only one that I would, you know, consider S tier at this point. Nobody else has looked as dominant. I mean, no shot at, you know, D-Lloyd, but D-Lloyd's, he's barely won games. Like, he's won by three, he's won by four. Hype Mike has beat good quality opponents by more than a score every time, so...
No, I was just gonna say the only person to play him, I mean, like, the closest score was 37-28, and that was last week. So, and it's still a two score game, but everybody else has been like 51-10, 55-14, 42-17. I mean, nobody's even came close to beating him.
even I was in within one score. I think he ended up winning by like two scores at the end because he ended up going downfield and scoring. So it's just, you know, he's been beating every opponent pretty easily.
Yeah, he's figured out what kind of offense he wants to run, and he's just letting it fly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, moving on, we got the AFC South, which is probably the one of the most interesting divisions to watch. They got all four teams fighting for the number one spot in the division. They got two teams that are 6-6 with the Colts and the Titans, and then they get the Jaguars and the Texans at 5-7. And this is a really interesting division because either one of these teams could end up, you know, as the division winner, and nobody would be surprised.
Yeah. I definitely think the Colts and the Titans have a momentum. Sorry, I cut you off again, man.
No, you're good.
Nah, go for it though, man. Yeah, that's all.
The craziest thing to me is that Jags is actually still in it, and he hasn't even played for like 5 weeks or something. So that's crazy.
Yeah, it
looks like he might be coming back soon, so he could jump in there and take over. which is crazy.
Yeah, that's an interesting division. We'll see what it looks like at the end. I think they've got some division games coming up. But I want to move this along because we got to get into, you know, our situation. And I think we're pushing on 25 minutes. The AFC North real quick. The Ravens clinched it already, kind of like the Vikings situation. Nobody else is going to make the playoffs in this division based on what it looks like. I know the AFC East is going to send two. It's going to be the Bills and the Patriots for one of those wild card spots. So it's going to be interesting to see if the AFC East sends three, but it looks like the Ravens are the only team in the AFC North to make the playoffs. They had a tough schedule. I know Drama likes to say they were the top three divisions going up against each other, but that was far from true. I want to put the AFC North as a top division, and that's no disrespect to anybody in that division. Just like I want to put myself in the top three, I'm not going to put somebody that, you know, isn't, you know, as good in the top three. I take the NFC East and the NFC North before I choose the AFC North. If I'm picking divisions, I might even choose the AFC South before the AFC North. That division seems to be more top heavy than most think, if I'm being honest.
I mean, you would think that no one else below Bacon is going to make it, but technically with wild cards at 6-6, I mean, they could still technically make it if someone went out and the other guys just didn't play well. But yeah, it seems pretty slim. It seems like maybe Drama Man would have the best chance of winning out with, I mean, he's still got a tough one with Ravens, and then he's got Falcons, Bengals, and Panthers. So, I mean, that's probably the one with the best chance, but it doesn't look good for HD. He's got Bills, Ravens, Saints, and Bengals. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and so, it's
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, that's tough. That's going to be a tough road for
it's
HD.
It's going to be tough. Yeah. Well, moving on.
For the moment y'all have been waiting for, are you ready to rumble? Mally Rojo, Neff, we're going to talk about our game. We're going to talk about the situation. I talked about it a little bit in the last podcast, but I didn't have your opinion, your voice within the podcast. So let's air it out now. Last week we play 38-17. I was up 31-17 in the fourth quarter with a minute and 11 left. I just got a pick. I gave myself up. I nailed it out. I was planning on nailing it out. You ended up calling a timeout. I took it a certain way. I threw a touchdown. And because of all the stat padding and running up the score, you know, talk, it was definitely, you know, brought to the light, and everybody got on me. So that's the segue leading into it. You have the floor, Mally. You can go ahead and, talk about it a little bit.
Well, we're a bit far removed now, so it's hard to remember, but I wrote a song about it when it happened, so let me grab my piano real quick.
Oh, my God. He said, cheetah, cheetah, pickle eater. Oh, my God. He said, I wrote a song about it.
He was in his feels. He wrote a song about it.
Oh, man. That's good stuff.
Oh, that's funny. Is it? Are you singing as a song? Hey, do you wanna? Oh, I don't think we're gonna get a clean version of the song on the podcast.
Ah, dang, it's not working. Dang it, ruined my whole plan.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get a clean version on the podcast. Maybe you could post it on YouTube and post it on the PML site. Get some, because I think that deserves content points. Unless it's just a random song you picked for me, then unless you if you
no, it would have been funny, but I didn't actually write it.
Oh, man.
Like I said, when it happened, It wasn't as big of a deal as, like, it was kind of made out to be. Like, when I was in chat and I saw that people brought it up, like, I was kind of low-key trolling you. But not like I purposely let you get the touchdown, but, like, trolling you in that when I saw everybody was jumping on you, I, like, doubled down. I doubled down on how bad it was, just so, like, I thought it was hilarious. thought it was hilarious how, like, I didn't expect everybody to jump on you. Like, I thought it would kind of just blow over quickly, but when I saw everyone was jumping on your ass, I thought it was funnier.
I think you did your part to make sure that, you know, everybody kept jumping on me. You kind of threw in stuff like that. Like, you did a good job at chat making it seem like it affected you a little more than it did. So we talked about it in DMs, like, and I explained it yesterday. The whole situation on the podcast, the day of, I mean, Cookie talked to you. Like, if somebody's calling a trolley timeout and you throw for the end zone, I have no problem with it. As a league that's trying to progress and make it more sim and make sure that we're not having that situation, it is the wrong thing for me to do. Like, that was completely wrong for me to do. I should have just ran in and then punted it. But as a competitor and going up against you, you know, me and you, we have that rivalry. We have a rivalry with Goose. We even have a rivalry with JT because of the whole commissioner thing and being close with JT. So we have that little rivalry with him.
Like, when that happens and you throw for the end zone, you're like, yeah, fuck you. Like, jokingly I don't know what you want to call it, friends, whatever, acquaintances, jokingly like that, that's kind of the situation I was in. Like, I did it against Goose, and Goose was like, oh, you salty, huh? And he threw for a touchdown, and I was like, all right, yeah, I get that, Goose. I called a timeout when I didn't need to. So what happened and what led to that is we talked about it in DMs.
You meant to call a timeout after my first knee. I went through two knees, then you called a timeout. So in my head, I thought you were just trolling me and not really, you know, continuing to play. So you said that you tried to call a timeout, just you didn't realize that it never called a timeout?
Yeah, no, that wasn't trolling. I 100%, I pressed the button. I thought I pressed the button on my remote. And so I was actually, like, I was pissed that you got a first down. I was pissed that you got the interception. So I, like, immediately, after that, like, after the first kneel down, I immediately pressed timeout, and I was, like, still pissed. I was, like, not even looking at the screen, like, just fucking, like, ah, this fucking shit. And then I look up, and I realize that the clock's still running. I'm like, what the fuck? It didn't call my fucking timeout. And then by then, you were, like, already getting on the field. So I was like, well, I'm not going to call the timeout now because I might as well just save it, and then I'll have an extra timeout.
Yeah, I've already wasted so much time.
Yeah, there's going to be time left anyway, so I'll just call the timeout after he does this kneel, and then I'll have an extra timeout if I do somehow get the ball back. And so that's what I did. And then when you came out in that formation, the reason why, like, I wasn't even prepared for it, and I took the safety completely out of his zone, because my first thought was, like, I thought maybe he's got a dev story for Thompson, because Thompson was getting touchdowns, and I know that's your guy that you like to, like, develop. Maybe he's got a dev story for him or something. So I just took the safety, and I was like, I'm just going to cover him no matter what. So I took the safety completely out of his zone and covered him, and then you threw it to Mike Williams wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, that was you understand that I wasn't trying to throw at Mike Williams. Like, I wasn't trying to stat pad with Mike Williams. If my other wide receiver on the other side was open, but you actually took the safety on Mike Williams' side, that's why he was the target. But I, like, when that whole situation happened, I was like, all right, he did call a timeout. He's conceding the game. I'm like, you're down 14. It's a minute 11 left. You know, the offense, it's no shot at you, but the offense wasn't moving. I was playing pretty good defense against that. I think you had that one touchdown to DK Metcalf. But after that one touchdown on that post roll, I started putting deep blue over there when I called cover two man. Like, I was doing certain things to make sure you couldn't do that. And, you know, at the end, I just assumed that, you know, you were defeated and were ready to move on from the game. So when you call that timeout, like, oh, this motherfucker wants to call this timeout right now. make sure you drop that explicit on this podcast as well, JT. I apologize for that. But I'm like, oh, this kid wants to call this timeout right now. I'm going to drop, you know, a bomb over his head. So that happened. And then, you know, then it went into the chat. And then we all know what happened after that. But I had no intent on stat padding. I had no intent on running up the score or scoring again. I had an intent on just running out the clock, and I thought we were on the same page at that point because, you know, I gave myself up and blah, blah, blah. But it turns out, you know, you wanted another drive. It
the game just never registered your timeout.
Yeah, when it's two scores, I think it's fine to do that. And I mean, pretty much everybody in chat agreed that they would take a timeout, like it when it's two possession.
Yeah,
and when like HD agrees with you, you know that you fucked up.
There's no issue with you calling your timeout. Just if Madden doesn't screw you on that first timeout, and
you call a timeout after my first kneel, then I'm like, oh, all right, he wants the ball back, he wants another chance. I'm going to go into a run play so I could try to get a first down.
But after I did two kneels and third and 12, I'm like, this seems more of a trolley timeout than a,
I'm trying to come back in the game. You know what I mean? Like,
the whole,
what really happened is Madden not registering your first timeout. That's what threw the whole,
the whole thing into play. That kind of screwed everything up and had me thrown for the end zone.
No, it's not right doing that. Like, people say I'm being a hypocrite. And I'm like, not really. I told you if somebody calls a trolley timeout, you throw for the end zone, I'm not going to say a word about it because that person deserved that touchdown thrown on their head. Now, Ant Dog talked about it yesterday. If it's 60-7, I don't think you should be throwing on their head, even if they call salty timeouts. You just run it out. But in a situation like that, that's why I ended up throwing it. The game was still close. I wasn't stat padding for anybody. I wasn't, running up the score, making it like 57-7 or 67-17 or whatever you want to say. I wasn't doing any of that. I was just, hey, Melly,
nice timeout. Fuck you. Here's this touchdown. That was what it was. So
yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from. Like I said, I posted that clip with JT where it was like 48-6 and he called a timeout like when the game was pretty much over. I just had to run out the clock and he didn't call a timeout. And so he called a timeout and I threw a deep shot and I took it for a touchdown. I DM'd him right after and I was like, sorry, you seem like you really wanted another drive. I can't even remember. I can't JT's even remember. Cool. He was a good sport about it, though.
Stuff like that. Oh man, I remember I danced on the end zone onto JT, and the next like three plays, he celebrates as he's going into the end zone. He made me look stupid. I was like, damn. He just writes me like, oh, you celebrated, so I had to counter that. I was like, oh, damn. Yeah,
I get pissed whenever somebody dances, like especially if it's not PMO. If it's not PMO, like if somebody, dances into the end zone on me in like a different league, I'm like, you really want this right now? And every other touchdown.
Yeah, I don't even celebrate on JT anymore, man. It makes me look stupid with his running backs, and then I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate the new celebrate button, like. I've tried to I'm just trying to lay down to end a game before, and I just celebrated and I look a dick when I was just trying to lay down to run the clock out, and my dude's just out there celebrating on the field.
Oh shit, that's a whole another story. And for whoever opponent you play, that's a different story. But I think that's gonna be it for us. We're already over 30 minutes in. It's been a good show. You guys got anything else you want to add or want to say?
No, just want to say everybody finished strong. It's coming down to the wire. I'm gonna try to make playoffs. The West might surprisingly send two, so that's kind of dope. Everybody didn't see that coming, so I wish the NFC West the best. Even Neff with his corny ass, I wish him the best too.
well, you wish me the best because we don't play anymore. We're all done for the season. We got the Rams and the Cardinals on my schedule.
You can win all final division games. That's okay.
I'll make sure to do my best to help out your situation when it comes down to the end and beat the Cardinals for you. But yeah, that's pretty much gonna do for us. I hope you all have a good day. Work tomorrow sucks, but well, let's get through the day and. Hopefully we get some exciting PML action on slate for today.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, and we are heading out of here, boys. Everybody have a good day.
You too.